Welcome to the John Maxwell Executive Leadership Podcast, where our goal is to help you increase your reputation as a leader, increase your ability to influence others, and increase your ability to fully engage your team to deliver remarkable results. Hi, I'm Perry Holly, a John Maxwell facilitator and coach.
And I'm Chris Cody, Vice President of the John Maxwell Company. Welcome and thank you for joining. If you'd like to download a learner's guide for today's episode, or maybe even check out the weekly blog that complements this podcast topic that Perry writes, I'd love for you to visit johnmaxwellcompany.com/podcast. You can also leave a question or a comment for Perry and I, maybe even a future topic that you'd like for us to unpack a little bit for you around leadership culture. Well, I'm a little disappointed. I'm just going to have to let you know. And Perry knows what. Here it comes. Perry loves his number five, and I'm grateful for him because we love the five levels of leadership. But a couple episodes ago, he brought the number 12 to us, and that was really confusing. Today, Perry, seven? Yeah, what's going on?
It's just got to be a good day.
So this may be Perry's last podcast. I'm just kidding. I couldn't do this without you. But we're wrapping up a series on this leadership, the shift that leaders need to make in order to continue to grow, continue to maximize their influence, and really be effective and efficient as a leader for their organization, and really to continue to improve their leadership culture. And so today we're going to talk about the communication shift, seven ways to connect and not direct. Love it. What are you thinking here, Perry?
Yeah, so when I was, from the earliest jobs as a teenager that I had coming up, the model of leadership that I got to see was that of a boss person, a man or woman telling others, mostly me, what to do. And when I became a first-line manager in my mid-20s, my first real titled leadership job, I took on that aura of being the boss. We would call it level one, telling people what to do. But I learned pretty quick there that bossing is not leading. It's just kind of being bossy. And it doesn't lead to what we teach as leadership as influence and what I really wanted to do. So I needed to make that shift from directing people to connecting with people, which meant that I needed to learn how do you connect. And I find this to be something I was telling you earlier, that we just say, you just need to connect more. Yeah, level two, connect. Be sure to connect. And you don't really offer, I don't really offer a lot of help on how do you connect. And I thought this would be a great time to share some ideas, maybe seven ways. There are more, but I didn't want to go last because that would really upset you at five. So what are seven ways that we could help people learn to connect?
Yeah, I love this. Absolutely love it. And I love the common language that you were using about talking about level one, right? And this is the five levels of leadership. Level one, basically you have influence because of your position. People follow you because they have to. You're the boss, right? You're leading with the ruler until the ruler breaks. I've had that before. But really what we want to talk about is going and connecting with them at level two, where we're building these relationships, connecting with them, getting their buy-in, getting their discretionary effort with the proper motive is what we like to talk about. So what I thought we'd do before we jump into the seven ways that you've come up with for us, I kind of have a list here of the difference maybe between directing and connecting. So directing, again, back to this level one skill set. Connecting is this level two. Our goal is to get you to move as quickly as possible with everybody that you lead individually. Now, you can't do it collectively. You can't walk in and say, well, I went from level one to level two last night. I woke up and ate my Wheaties. I feel good. No, it's individually based. But here are some things that I just want to share with you. So directing would be being authoritative versus being collaborative. Directing would be talking. Connecting would be listening. That right there, we could just stop the episode right there. There's a lot of leaders out there that like to hear themselves talk. Directing would be, hey, this is a top-down organization or team. Connecting would be, hey, this is side-by-side. We're in this together. Like, we're part of this team. Level one, directing would be enlisting versus connecting would be empowering. Another one is directing would be assuming. Connecting would be understanding. And then the last one that I'll share with you is really directing to be, this is my agenda versus this is our agenda. And I think those are just same things. We just want you to get you in the mindset of where we're going as we talk about these, of going, hey, how do I get to the point to where I'm connecting versus directing?
Well, I was really good at the directing column as you were reading it, but it doesn't lead to the outcome,
that's
the
right.
long-term results that I want. You can get short-term results
that's
by
right.
being that person, but as we talk about that engagement level, people are going to eventually put the oar down and not row. Or even try to sink your boat. You want to have people rowing, so I want to be this connecting person.
You can get long-term turnover results with that.
You can.
Right? Your turnover
will go right through the roof.
You will have long-term results if you stay there.
All right, the seven, let's go through them quickly. But
okay.
Number one, humility. Hmm. And I have to ask you, why would humility be a factor in connecting with people? And it's really, when I think about humility, a solid definition I would like is that not being preoccupied with yourself, that really sends a message to people that they matter. And you're communicating really that you need them and that you don't have all the answers, that I'm not the be-all, end-all of this, and that I find humility is really a very attractive leadership quality. And it kind of moves people from following because they have to following because they want to, that level one to level two jump. But what's your thought on humility?
Well, here's the first thing I thought about. I'm just going to be transparent real time. Was what's the opposite of humility and would I want to follow that?
Right.
The answer is no. The answer is no because I know that because I've had that experience in the past with certain leaders. And so I was thinking, as we're walking through these fairly quickly, man, I think a question to ask yourself is, what's the opposite of what Perry's brought to the table today? And do I want to be known for that as a leader?
Right.
And the answer is no. And so I think this humility is something that is not talked about enough when it comes to leaders. You know, oftentimes people think about, you and I've talked about executive presence. Well, you know, they got to have this aura and right. this, and right? No,
no.
That's not it at all. So number two, I love this curiosity, right? Ask people questions. Don't assume that you know the answers and value what others think. Learn to understand them. I think this also drives inclusivity, mm-hmm. right? Which we were just talking about with Jake today before we started recording about the different backgrounds and the diversity that a lot of teams already have.
Right.
And the diversity is great, but are we really being inclusive? And I don't think we are unless we get to this point, which you brought to our attention, which is connecting through curiosity.
Well, I've learned something recently. What is curiosity? And then someone asked, are you asking questions or are you being curious?
Mm.
Well, aren't they the same thing? I mean, it really shook me a little bit as I read on. I think it was David Marquet in The Language of Leadership that spoke about this. And the question he said, are you asking questions to make someone prove they know something?
Yeah.
Or are you curious so that you can learn something?
That's
I might have
good.
To back that up and hear that again.
Because that's really good.
I'm
that one more
I'm
time.
I'm a coach, and I'm thinking this all the time now. Am I asking you questions just so I can hear that if you know it? Or am I actually curious, saying I'm trying to learn it?
Yeah.
I want to learn something
that's
new.
Good.
So that when you have that mindset of I'm being curious, that I'm asking is a different type of question that you're asking.
That's good.
All right, number three, effort on helping you connect is that it takes intentional effort to connect with others. We can become consumed with our own world and what we have going on, and we're all busy. We totally ignore the need to connect with others on the team. So am I really willing to put in the effort?
I love that you use the word intentional. That's big for us here inside our organization. It takes intentionality to have the effort. And here's what I'll tell you. What's that statement? The road to Hades is paved with good intentions, right? Like, so we have to be intentional about it. And sometimes mentally we may say, man, I want to be intentional. I want to do that. And so I want to free you up right now. And I want to tell you, it's okay to be structured behind your intentionality, meaning whatever is that keeps you on point, whether it's a calendar, whether it's reminders, there are things that I want to encourage you to put in place in order for you to be intentional about the effort that you are showing to connect with your people. I have to do that. And I think the more plates you begin to spin with people, the more structured you need to be behind that. And so I just want to encourage you, be intentional, be structured about the intentionality that you want to have. Number four, trustworthiness. Do we need to say anything else, right? Like, I got to pause. I was thinking about it. And, you know, I think you got to be consistent, which is a word that I love in regards to leadership. Someone asked me, what was the biggest lesson, one of your biggest lessons in 2020 that you learned through the pandemic and everything? I said, it was that my team and those that I've influenced with my family needed to see consistency out of me more than anything else. Didn't have to have the answers, didn't have to, had to be consistent with the communication and with the presence. I think this includes integrity. This includes also being competent at what you do. We talk a lot on this about soft skills, about connecting with people and all stuff. Can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You got to be competent. That might not be the right way to say that for all those English people out there, but you need to be competent in the skill in order to have the trust given to you.
Yeah, I go back to your saying earlier, if I put the opposite up there, would I follow that person?
Right,
not trustworthy without doing that.
No.
But, you know, we talk a lot here about people are watching you all the time. All the time people are watching you, and they see your behaviors. They have to assume your motives on why you're behaving that way. And if they don't feel, you know, if I don't feel you're worthy of my trust, it's going to be tough for me to want to connect with you. I might do the surface thing. I might, you know, have to go to work with you, but I don't have to really connect with you as my leader if I don't find you trustworthy. So it is a big one. Number five, I love this one too. This is generosity. But thinking, what does that have to do with connecting? But, you know, John, I've heard him say it before, give first, give often, give continuously. And this is what we talk about, having an abundance mindset versus a scarcity mindset, that there's plenty for everyone. And scarcity doesn't really connect that well. If it's just enough for me, I'm not going to help you. I'm not going to give to you. I'm not going to provide for you. It's only for me. That doesn't connect well.
Yeah, I want to give a little example here for you about this generosity. A lot of times people think just, you know, when we say generosity, it's dollars, right? They immediately go to financial. And I think it's much more than that. It is with your time. It's with advice. It's with all kinds of things. But I want to give you an example of a teammate of ours. So there's this gentleman on our team, Chris Robinson. He's our executive vice president over our Entrepreneur Solutions Group. And great guys, always smiling, high energy. When it comes to sales, the guy is as sharp as they come. And so, man, we are so excited that he's in the leadership position he is. And this guy is probably the most generous guy that I know in creative ways. And what I mean by that is, when you say this word generosity, it's the first thing that came to mind. I hadn't thought about it before we walked in here today, but I was thinking about who is it that models this, that connects with me from a generosity. So I'll share this story. My wife and I are empty nesters now. We also are getting up in age, right? And you can see it in the way that I walk. And
I'm getting up in age.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Precept my elders. And so we're looking for this, you know, this things to do together. And what does that look like? And, you know, I've had a bunch of operations. And so you got to be careful what kind of activity, physical. So we get invited to come and play pickleball. So pickleball is this new up-and-coming sport that everybody's playing. It's like tennis, but on a smaller court, and you only have to protect a little box. And I'm like, I'm in. I can do that. I can't move well, but I can move that. So Chris is an avid pickleball player, and I just learned this past week that I think there's – to get to the pro level, it's a level 5 pickleball. That's his goal, and he's on his way, and he's practicing, he's working. But I started talking to him about this. I was like, yeah, we got invited to this pickleball. He's like, oh, man, I love pickleball. I'm playing. Within 3 days – on my doorstep was an Amazon box, by the way. Amazon can help you with generosity. Was a box, had two pickleball paddles in it with a little note that says, man, I'm so glad you joined the game, enjoy the journey, whatever. And I'm like that nice connection right there,
right?
With connecting with me from a leadership standpoint, I won't forget it. And I see him do it over and over and over again. So when you brought up generosity, and I didn't mean to go on this tangent right here, but I want you to understand it's not just necessarily with giving somebody a bonus, or it could be creative ways. It could be half days off. It could be things that you can control as a leader.
I love that.
That you don't have to necessarily go get permission for or have the funds to do. Just get creative around that generosity, and you'll connect in ways that you would never thought you would.
It says you're thinking about me, not about yourself.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. So the number six, I'll jump into that. This is a huge one as well, which is listening. And I do kind of keep giggling after everyone we say this, because what I start off by saying, what if it was the opposite of this, right? Could you imagine having influence with people that, you know, you just didn't listen to? No, it's not going to happen. And I think this is one of the greatest ways that you can show that you value somebody And I think we can all improve in this area. Just ask my wife, Sarah, your wife, Bonnie. They'll be more than happy to tell you. Right. We're in the leadership space. We need some work. We hear them. We just don't listen well. And I think you can develop this skill in several different areas. Here's one that I work with on some of our team members, which is stop interrupting. You're really not listening to what's being said if you are interrupting them because you already have the next point that you want to be heard on. Maybe ask clarifying questions, right? What is it? Maybe even ask them to help you in certain areas. And so as you begin to think about this and becoming a better, effective listener, it will help you connect with any of your team. That it's just a huge skill set to develop.
Well, I found it's helpful to consider this a practice area, to do intentional practice.
Oh, that's good.
I've just started doing it, especially you mentioned interesting about at home. It's easy to just shut your brain off and think I heard it all before, but I haven't. So I've been practicing intentional listening. And one of the things I have to guard personally for me is don't top your story. That I'm listening, and I'm listening for something that they've done, and I've done more, or I've done better, or I've done it more often. That's not even part of this. And the right. minute I start topping your story, I'm talking. So learning to say things like, tell me more. What did you mean by that? Just trying to keep them talking and me intentionally practicing the listening. I was traveling this past week. We did a class for a customer of ours. And I was just in the airport for the first time in a while. And, just talking and really trying to listen, put my phone away, doing intentional acts to not be distracted, to not make it about me, to give you the most valuable gift I have, which is my attention and my time. And it's the number one way that people feel value.
Hey, so one of the things I was thinking about when you said don't top their story, I think people oftentimes make a mistake and they think they're connecting with you by telling you a better story or telling you their story in regards to that, when at times you don't need to share that story to connect with them. I think there's even more power in connecting with them and doing what you talked about, which was tell me more. Unpack that a little bit. Why did that happen? What, like that curiosity we talked about earlier versus saying, man, I know exactly what you were talking about. Let me tell you about this story. And I think that's a natural reaction because you think, oh, I'm relating and I'm connecting. And I would challenge you to make sure you question your motive of why you're doing that. And is it really truly serving the individual well from a listening perspective by doing that? Because I know that I naturally would do that. I listen. And I listen for keywords, try to connect and where they're at, and then I jump in when I should just be listening more.
Yeah, they said they went on a trip to South Atlanta, and I said, oh, I went to Paris.
That's right.
It ruins
that's
the
right.
whole thing.
Yeah, the whole thing. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Well, I mean, thanks for blowing my
Number
point.
Seven, we'll wrap this up, but encouragement, a way to connect with other people. And I've heard John say this is the oxygen for the soul. Never, ever underestimate the value of reminding people that you believe in them. I often say it is just be the CEO of your team, the chief encouragement officer. And you find, everybody wants to be encouraged. Everybody needs to be encouraged. And when you do that, it opens that door that I want to be near you. Because every time I'm around you, I feel like you value me, that you believe in me, and that I'm needed. And I just love that. I hate that we left there for number seven, but it's big.
It is. Well, let me wrap up for us as we kind of draw this series to a close around Mindshift. And I think I love this because these seven principles that you brought to us, they're very applicable. I want you to take them. I want you to listen to them. Evaluate yourself on them. And what I really love about the last one that you're talking about is when you encourage others, you're promoting a spirit of approval versus a spirit of criticism.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk a lot with organizations about increasing their engagement levels. And you've heard Perry and I both share the story about rowing in the boat. And the numbers are still at 34%, which doesn't excite me, but excites me. It means there's a lot of opportunities out there for us to help teams increase that engagement level. And so whether you're directing or you're connecting, I love this, you're building a bridge to your people. And this is something that Perry brought to the notes right here, that directing bridge tends to be one way.
Mm-hmm.
The connecting bridge, that tends to be two ways. And I just want you to understand that when you're trying to connect with people, it's not a one-way bridge, right? It's going to be the two ways. And so I found that the two-way bridge offers more in the way of increasing my influence with the team and those that I'm around and increasing the engagement level of those that are on my team and inside my organization. And so as you continue to think about the culture of which you work and your organization and your leadership, I want you to think about these seven principles and just go through and ask yourself some your questions, like, how am I at this? And then maybe even ask yourself the question, maybe do I represent the opposite of this, right? Back to how we started. So, man, Perry, I really appreciate that. Appreciate you bringing the seven added value to me, and I'm sure our listeners as well.
Great stuff, Chris. Thank you. And please go to johnmaxwellcompany.com if you'd like to learn more about the five levels, 360, any of the virtual workshops we're doing right now. We're also glad to hear from you there, a comment or a question, or as Chris said, if there's a topic you'd like to hear about, we're always open to that. We're always grateful that you would spend this time with us. That's all today from the John Maxwell Executive Leadership Podcast.